Wish I could take you to Mount Jerry. Wonderful spot.
What a view.
Not in the geographies, but a heavenly place. And I have seen some passing views there and revel in them. Gee, how I wish you might be along. Tired of doing it alone.
Yeah. On Mount Jerry.
On Mount Jerry.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
We've had some technical difficulties.
No, I'm fine.
You're fine? Okay.
Yeah.
And we're back. So I want to kick off with this right away, and Katie will appreciate this. This is unpopular technology. You know, we're afraid of the coming robo-apocalypse.
Absolutely.
We like to know what everyone's doing out there in tech world. So here is an amazing phone that lets you text a smell.
Oh,
to your friends. We talked about a smelling app before, but this is a text smell
texting
app.
Texting a smell.
So it says it may sound crazy.
It does.
But Harvard professor David Edwards and his former student Rachel Field,
had some chemistry.
They're closely together. They're already testing
one
out. One thing. Next thing I know, are already testing out a new device that does just that. Edwards, founder of the Paris-based Art and Science Lab, Le Laboratoire, and his assistant Field created the O-Phone, a device that transmits scents via an iPhone application.
Oh.
So, it says that smell triggers a more direct cerebral response than a visual and auditory. That's right, because when you smell something that ain't right, everything happens. Everything happens. So, it says here...
And it's not something that you can really get over.
No, so this thing is like, it's a device. It looks like about the size of a laptop. It has two cylindrical receivers, and those transmit the smell. Right?
So he transmitted a smell. That seems like a lot of work to text a smell.
He sent a smell from his iPad, and then a second later, the scent of chocolate chip walnut cookies filled the air.
Well, that's fine.
It's kind of nice.
That's nice.
The device is called an O-Phone, and the app is called O-Snap. Emphasis mine. It's probably just O-Snap. It allows users to create scents called O-Notes.
So apparently, the scent pods are in the cones.
And there's 32 different aromas in the cones. And there's some kind of a mixture of them, and they can create thousands of scents out of 32 like basic smells.
Well, why does somebody have to text you it to release the smell?
I don't know at what point I would want to text you a smell. If I was like, oh, you know what? Hold on a second, Katie.
This is what it smells
pizza.
Like.
Here you go.
Well,
Why would I text you a smell?
The only time you need an opinion on a smell is like when it's when you have the milk in the fridge. Is this?
But I'm not going to accept that text. It says here they also can text you fish smell.
No,
I don't want that. So Jessica Hempstead, a visitor from Las Vegas, sampled the device and said everything smelled like chocolate to me. She noted it was easier to tell what the smell was when shown a picture. So there's no point. And there's a picture of her looking at a burrito and then smelling a thing.
It's like, you don't need to smell that.
It's the O-Phone and the O-Snap app. And the O-Phone is $149.
I would love to. Well, actually.
Or next year it goes up to $199, so get it now.
It's amazing. Well, listeners, there's a weird smell in the Hey You Know It studio today.
Yes.
Some strange thing has walked in through there.
Yeah, and no one has texted this to us.
No.
We have no idea what the smell is. But
we
can
describe it.
If we had the O-Snap app.
Then we could text it to you.
We could text it to you and you could tell us what it was.
Right.
Although if you texted me this scent, I might be done with you.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what a bee.
Why did you do that? That was the worst smell.
Yeah.
It's unidentifiable.
It smells like disappointment and strife.
It smells like an overly medicated elderly person.
Oh, really?
Was sweating
in here, and their life—they had a difficult life.
Yeah,
and they were kind of disappointed. That's where I come in.
Yeah,
I want to be able to smell an emotion. Like I'm going to transmit fear.
Oh, okay.
Like I'm going to be like Katie, and then you're going to smell it. People go, "What's wrong?" You're like, "I don't know. I just got a text."
She's afraid.
Now I'm afraid.
Yeah,
I can smell that Jaquetta is afraid. I'll be right back.
I can smell desperation. I can smell fear.
Yes, what if you could smell a lie? Be like, I just hold this up to you. Be like, girl, stop lying.
It smells fishy. Yeah.
All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
All right, Tales from the Campfire is a segment where we find advice, where we find stories on the internet, stories of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, ghost stories, legends, and we tell them around the digital campfire. So gather around.
Gather around, listeners.
And if we had the O snap and O phone, I could send you like a smell of the campfire.
That's right.
So you can hear it crackling.
Right.
And you can also smell it.
I have three little ones, but I'll do the biggest one.
I wonder
first.
What bullshit smells like. It smells like bullshit. Yes. All right, so what is your... You have three? Okay.
Yeah.
Get ready to gather around. Get a sandwich, because you're going to be here a while.
Well, listen, now, what would you do here? Mm-hmm. I've been living alone for less than a week. I got some Chinese takeout and was eating it in front of the TV.
Well, there you go. Already?
I finished my meal and cracked open the fortune cookie. It read... It read, you will have a visitor tonight.
Lock
your door.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, there were no visitors that night, but the memory still haunts me. What would you do if you got something like that? That's the worst Chinese food place.
It is. I might tell the Chinese food place.
I would, too.
About
this.
Yeah. Just march back in.
This with a little slip.
With a tiny piece of paper, they're going to be like, they're going to be like, okay, lucky numbers, 18, 32, yeah. 8. How to say dog in Chinese. Oh, no, the other side.
Oh,
this is fucked up. I don't know what to say. Free egg roll?
Free
egg roll.
Right? Well, I was going to say, if they didn't tip the Chinese delivery person.
Then maybe do so next time.
But they were living there less than a week.
Wow. I guess I could have, it's kind of random. It could have gone to anybody, but yeah. I would order again and see if it was, if the next one is like, bitch, didn't you hear me? This time, lock. Don't just lock the door. Put a chair up against it.
Yeah. Okay, this one is a little bit longer.
Okay.
But it's still short.
That first one was pretty short.
Yeah.
Gather back around.
All right. My old coworker had a son that was in his mid-30s.
Old? Like ex-coworker? Just like...
I think it's old.
Tired.
And then he had a son named Hunter that was 4 or 5. So they couldn't say my coworker's grandson.
Okay.
She said that Hunter would have bad dreams and that he would sleep with his dad when he got scared.
Okay.
One night his dad woke up because he heard Hunter calling him. Mm-hmm. But by calling him by his name, not dad.
Okay.
So he's like, Charles.
Charles.
I gave him the friend Charles. So he went to his room and he saw that Hunter was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
He woke him up and said, Hunter, you were calling me. Is everything okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Hunter said, Dad, when they call you, you're not supposed to answer. And he fell back asleep.
What? Yeah. Okay.
And he asked about it in the morning, but he said he didn't remember saying it.
That's kind of creepy. Although I've had roommates before who talk in their sleep.
Yeah.
And then the next day, like, what are you talking about? And then they insist that you're lying. Why would I lie?
Yeah.
I have no stake in this.
Yeah. I had a boyfriend who, he would, like, come home from work, and we lived together, and he would nap on the couch, which is fine.
Yeah.
All right, fine, he fell asleep on the couch. But sometimes he...
Would he kick things off, like...
He slept sometimes. I found him once. He was, the room was dark, but the TV was on.
Okay.
And he was watching TV and laying on the couch.
Okay.
And I was like, hi, how are you? Oh, you know, this day, and I went on with my monologue about myself, not waiting for an answer. You know? And he's just, like, looking at the TV. And then he just started singing in this voice. They're all looking at me at the party.
What?
Everybody's gonna see me at the party.
Are you serious?
I'm kidding.
What is that?
Like, I was just like, what is that song? What is that all about?
What does that mean?
And I looked at him. His eyes were open.
Maybe he's asleep.
But he was asleep.
Yeah. I've known one or two people who sleep with their eyes open. You know what? They should wear nightshades.
It was the scariest thing I've ever experienced. So.
That's creepy. I might have just backed out of the room quietly.
I know. I was so scared. And he had other sleep disorders. I'm not
that's
gonna
bizarre.
Get into. But that was like the first one where I saw him with his eyes open singing.
I probably would have gone closer and been like, like sort of jazz hands because I'm an asshole. Yeah,
I told him about it and he was like, what are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that you were singing
in a falsetto.
Yeah.
With your eyes open.
In a falsetto. A song that no one's ever heard before.
Right.
A creepy song. All right.
All right, and this is Gather Back Round.
Gather Back Round, everyone. Round three. I'm throwing another log on this fire.
When I was 16, I was sitting at a table with my mom talking about life, musing on the afterlife and reincarnation.
You know.
The usual.
You know, we talk about that all the time.
Well, it actually says here, the usual.
The usual?
Yes.
I thought that was you being glib.
No, I always say that, but it's actually written here.
Oh, wow. I don't think, someone in my family once tried to be like, ask me what I thought about the afterlife, and I promptly said who, and then changed the subject. I don't.
No.
But what do you think about, I don't.
You don't, that's it. I began to laugh and say, you know, I'm pretty sure I remember my past life.
Mm-hmm.
This time, this was about
in
the time.
Mixed company? Girl, you just don't care. So caution to the wind.
This was about the time her face went pale, and I asked her why. And she said, that's when she began to list all of the
details. We stole you back from gypsies.
And that's her in past lives. This is your other family.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She's remembering her other family. There was no past life.
So the mother then, she began to list all the details of my silly past life, which I always felt was just a reoccurring dream I must have. She told me
how... My so-called past life?
Yeah, she told me how I was the youngest child in a family of poor travelers.
How see?
Yes.
I told you.
Listeners, we don't give each other this information beforehand.
Yes.
How my crib was on top of the dresser where we would sleep, and my mother was a tall, bony, angry-looking woman with her hair piled high, mm-hmm. always wearing a long dress. All the details I was about to tell her for what I thought was for the first time. And he said, how did you know all of this? I never told you before. I said, she goes, because it isn't the first time you told me. She said,
you never stop telling me. Yeah. It's all you talk about.
you told me this story many times when you were a baby after you first learned to talk.
Wow.
I don't believe it. And the worst thing she said with a dark brow. A dark brown.
I think this girl grew up in that Cher song, Gypsies, yeah. Tramps, and Thieves.
She says,
that was her past life.
When I would come to play with you, you would tell me that your other mother was behind me.
Well, that's weird.
Isn't that weird? So he was like babbling, like, hey, I got this other family. My chair and you tell me my mother has a dark long dress.
Watch out. Watch your back.
You.
That's weird. I think that's why children get like taken to orphanages in films. You know, they say a couple off-color things. It's like,
no,
get them out of here. Like, get them
can't
out
have
of here.
This
is not cute. Not cute at all.
What do you have there? I see you're looking ponderously.
I have a lot of different things. I have some penis news.
Penis news.
Yes.
This is Jaquetta's favorite
segment. The member on the move.
News about the member.
Dick updates. So this one says ancient, and it's not ancient, but it says ancient U.S. presidential sex scandal revealed. Warren G. Harding, 29th president of the United States, has been caught.
What?
In the nearly century-old extramarital affair in which he codenamed his penis Jerry.
No.
Codename Jerry.
Codename Jerry.
So the affair came to light through the string of explicit letters that was published by the New York Times. Now, the family had been trying to hide this for the longest time. So they had hidden away the letters that they had. But the woman who he was writing the letters to, he was having an affair with a woman called Carrie Fulton Phillips from 1910 to 1920. And his affair occurred during his tenure as a lieutenant governor of Ohio and as a U.S. senator. And he stopped writing her right before he became president because he was probably like, you know what?
Well, I can't. Guess
this
what?
This is too much. But there are over 100
letters. Lose my address.
There are over 100 letters documenting his love for and more often sexual fantasies.
So
I'll just read some of them.
Signed Jerry?
Yeah. And one letter dated, this is March 12, 1915, Harding refers to the stealthily coded Jerry. He says, Jerry, you recall Jerry.
Oh!
Came in while I was pondering your notes and glad reflection, and we talked about it, a.k.a. a little hand love. He told me to say that you are the best and darlingest thing in the world. This is his penis. And if he could have but one wish, it would be to be held in your darling embrace and be thrilled by your pink lips that convey the surpassing rapture of human touch and the unspeakable joy of love's surpassing embrace.
Wow.
And then I'll just read one more. This is from August 20th, 1918. Harding invites Phillips to a not-so-subtle gathering, saying, wish I could take you to Mount Jerry. Wonderful spot.
What a view.
Not in the geographies, but a heavenly place. And I have seen some passing views there and reveled in them. Gee, how I wish you might be along. Tired of doing it alone.
Yeah. On Mount Jerry.
On Mount Jerry.
I can't get over this.
Yeah. I mean, it's so bizarre. It says, wouldn't you like to get sopping wet on our superior, not the lake? He put it, for the joy of fevered fondling and melted
get
kisses.
It? Yeah. Get it?
Not the
nudge,
lake.
Nudge with the elbow.
He talks about trying to get his face into our pillowing breasts. I said, wouldn't you like to make the suspected occupant of the next room jealous of the joys he could not know, as we did in the morning communion, he calls it. And the morning
the communion.
Communion at Richmond.
You know, that's a lovely euphemism, but I just don't, it's too much entrenched in the Catholic
yeah.
Church to be fun.
I still like Mount Jerry.
Mount
Come on over to Mount Jerry. What a crazy. So the Times reports that to the dismay of many historians, a settlement was reached in which the Harding family, who owned the copyright, agreed to donate them to the Library of Congress in return for a guarantee that they be sealed.
A guarantee.
For 50 years. The seal, though, is almost open.
Nice.
On July 29th, the Library of Congress will make the letters fully accessible.
I can't wait. And we'll do dramatic readings from them.
We will. I mean, it's just, I feel bad because the family is, you know, no one likes Warren G. Harding.
No.
And this is not going to make it any better. But here's the thing. Everyone in the past, like, everyone has someone in their family who just did crazy shit like this. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah, yeah.
There's worse things, like slave ownership.
Right.
All this guy did was have an affair and referred to his member as Jerry. Gerald. Mount Jerry. I would like...
I love that. So
yeah,
awful.
I would like you to come to get sopping wet out on Superior, not the lake.
Not the lake.
So funny. So Warren G. Harding. Penis news. Presidential penis news. All rise.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll put the music in.
Yes, I will. For presidential penis news. This is patriotic penis news.
Yes.
Patriotic presidential penis news. Yeah.
Has
dignified
everything.
Dick updates.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
All right, what do you have?
I have listener mail.
Awesome.
Also along with some advice.
All right. I think that the listener mail is from one of our favorite listeners.
Yes.
Well, we love all of our listeners.
We love all our listeners.
We especially love the ones who write in and do our job for us by giving us material. And this is S.E.B.
S.E.B.
in the house.
Emails us. Hello, how are you?
Thank you for still listening.
Yeah.
After all these years.
All right. The email starts. Hello, First Ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
I heard that Katie is about to run for office in 2016.
I am.
My husband will be leaving office.
Yes.
Right. We're doing a handoff.
Right. Two things. What was the name of that book or novel by the psychologist on the show a few weeks back? I deleted the show by accident and I can't.
We just did that one.
I know. That's why.
Are you bringing it up again?
I'm just going to bring it up.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm answering. It's cool.
But you have to look at the book?
What? Can you believe I did that? Okay, the book is called...
And you took your time, too. Like, hold on, lady, I gotta look.
I know the name of this book, listeners.
We live it, but
I still picked up the paper to look at the title.
Well, you want to be right.
It's called Bear, Psychotherapy Stripped. It's by Dr. Jackie Gunn and Carlo DiCarlo.
Yes, and there'll be a link on our page.
Right. So you can... The book is now in hardcover.
Yep. And I think there's an e-copy as well. I'll put the Amazon link up as well.
It's a fascinating tale. It's a case study book that chronicles several different patients as well as the inner thoughts of the therapist.
We got some good feedback on that. A couple people told me that even though it was a different kind of episode, they're really into it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So now Seb goes on to say here, I can't verify if Fox News has this advice on their website, but here it is.
They have advice? Who is getting their advice from Fox? I can't even believe you look at their news.
Here is a list of sex advice from Fox News posted.
Oh my God, thank you.
And thank you for the thank you for the show and the comedy. And we thank you for this comedy.
I don't
even
know what's going to happen, but thanks.
Yes, and here it is.
Dun, dun, dun.
11 hilariously awful pieces of sex advice, courtesy of Fox News.
All right.
All right, number one. It says here, Fox News doesn't just bring the hard-hitting stories about gullibility and elderly and how Santa Claus is white and how New York City public schools teach people how to abandon their babies.
Mm-hmm.
It also offers sex advice. As you can imagine, many of these sexpert tips are thinly veiled bouts of sexism and hackneyed gender stereotypes.
Yeah.
But sometimes they are just plain hilarious. Here are some of our favorite Fox News tips for your love life.
Okay.
Number one. Doctor role playing. Caught up in their roles, lovers are given the perfect excuse to check out often taboo areas of the body. And explore them as never before. How can he refuse a prostate exam from his haunt to Trump doctor? How can she not bend over to make sure that everything's A-okay down there?
That has never really entered into a prostate. Like, most guys don't consider that to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Like, I mean, I'm thinking about, as a woman, if someone was like, hey, let's play gynecologist, I'd be like, no. I don't like going once a year. Like, and that's for my health and safety.
And you will freak me out because you're going to say something.
That's wrong. Then the next time I'm there, I'm going to be like, good Lord. Okay.
Not. And number two, pranks that will spice up your love life.
Pranks.
Pranks. And Fox removed this after it was published, but it still is on
the internet. Writing this, though? It's just like a mad person.
Yeah. Here's the prank. Ask your guy to go to the supermarket and give him a list of things, of made-up things like dehydrated water, sweet salt, or a blunt knife. If he's into fixing things, send him a glass. Send him to a hardware store for a glass hammer or a cement humidifier.
Are they serious?
For the sports guy,
Fox is on the pipe.
For the sports guy, tell him to grab a box of curveballs and meet you in the park after work.
That sounds like a euphemism. You might be met in the park with something that you're not interested in.
This is also, the writer of this article says, this is also a really good test to determine whether or not you're dating a third grader.
Oh, God.
Number three, bored in the bedroom. Have you tried shopping? Spend a little mad money on yourself. Take time to discover what turns you on, from a silky smooth satin pajamas to a Victorian bustier.
Really?
Yeah, if you're bored with your partner, it's most definitely because you don't have enough exciting underwear or immobilizing corsets. Mad money indeed.
Wow. Yeah, when you can't move.
Yeah, right. It says number four, sex is like cooking. Sex is like cooking. The end result can be delicious. But it's important to savor the steps along the way.
What? Okay. Who is, once again, I feel like no one actually asked them for this advice.
No.
They're just volunteering.
Volunteering number five is, on New Year's Eve, kissing etiquette. If you just met, don't let your bodies touch. You're after a kiss, not sexual harassment charges.
Excuse me? So how is air kiss from across the room?
Yeah, and also this...
Where's that app?
The author is vehemently opposed to lip gloss and chapstick by saying, the scent or texture of such goop can evoke dry heaving more than the desire for dry humping.
Really? I have never in my life heard of anyone being turned off by moisturized lips.
Yeah.
Well, should I just have a cracked lip that's like bleeding a little bit? Yeah. Is that better?
Crust,
when I smile, it's
crust
like,
on the corners.
I scream every time I take a...
More New Year's advice. Always ask to see an ID and carry a condom. Enough said.
I need to see some ID.
We're going to get it on. I need to see some ID.
I need to see some ID.
Number seven, men are like kindergartners who want nothing more than your appreciation and respect for their hard work.
Really? If only. Wouldn't life be easier?
Oh, and number eight, before you sexually experiment, check your state laws.
This is like a Reno 911. Yeah. You got to know the Romeo and Juliet laws. You don't want to run afoul of statch. What? I need to see some ID.
Check your state laws regarding public nudity, use of sex toys, and sodomy.
Really?
Yeah.
I have never in my life heard of anybody just busted with a dildo.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Maybe selling them is one thing, but, like selling them and that kind of thing. I know people sometimes get in trouble for that. But having it and being, like, using it?
Yeah.
Never heard about the cops busting in on somebody.
Never. But who's, it says here.
Is that a cop ring? Author, put that down.
Yeah. I'm calling the cops.
Step away.
It's illegal in this state.
You didn't even ask for ID.
This is New Jersey.
This is New Jersey.
I don't know what you do over there in Michigan.
But cop rings?
In New Jersey. This is how it goes down.
Is there a law against
I'm calling the police. I'm making a citizen's arrest.
Yeah. I'm making a
sense. Who would turn somebody in?
I don't know.
So you've been intimate with somebody.
French ticklers are not allowed.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
And number nine, how to score points with her.
Okay. Rather, it's a game.
Yeah. Rather than rummaging around under the car seat for quarters to make that $5 she needs for gas, give her a 10 just in case. And don't sweat the change. Sure, you might give up your double shot caramel grande because of it. Hmm? But suck it up, cappuccino boy, because this will give you Trump-like credit for later.
Really?
So give her $10 for gas money to get the hell out.
$10 for gas money? What is that, like 3 gallons?
What?
like 2.5 gallons in New Jersey?
So you've been with a woman, and she's like, I need $5 or
look,
else.
Are you less than 50 miles away? Because I'm only giving you a couple dollars.
Right.
What kind of car? You have a Taurus? Okay.
What, you can't get out of the driveway because you lack gas?
Here's you need $10 to get out of here. At the end of the day, here's $10 a gas.
To keep the change. I know you need $5. I normally give out only $5, but for you.
Do what you want with that $5.
Right.
Get a corset. So you can't move. That's crazy.
On number 10, on travel as aphrodisiac, the sumptuous paintings and sculptures of Georgia O'Keeffe at the O'Keeffe Gallery in Santa Fe, or at any number of museums, can be a reminder of how sexy it can be to go to an art museum with your partner and revel in the rich hues and sensual shapes.
So you gotta just track down a Georgia. You know what? Just pull one up on your phone. Just flash that. Or
yeah.
Save the time and effort, you know.
Admiring her often erotic work. Are those, and it says in parentheses, are those flowers or?
Really?
Yeah. Will likely leave you a hankering to get a look at your own private model when you get back home to your studio.
I mean, what about her? You should take her to a Mapplethorpe exhibit.
Yeah. Right?
So she can be disappointed when she gets home. Wait, you don't have a 10 pack?
An 11 primal painting. Diego Rivera had Frida Kahlo. Salvador Dali had Gala, and Pablo Picasso. Well, had a lot of women.
Yeah.
Point being, the primal release of slathering a canvas with pigment releases something in a man.
That's from Fox. That seems a little highfalutin. Sorry.
Yeah, but
museums.
It's all...
Are museums funded by the National Endowment of the Arts, which is awful, right? This is Fox News.
Oh my gosh.
Art? I don't know. So that, I mean, thank you, SEB, but. Who?
Yes.
Is that, like, really?
I can't believe that. Thank you for sending this. Because
yes.
This is just, it's we're blown away by.
It's exactly what I think about Fox.
It is what Fox would give you. And I'm so glad I don't
listen to Fox.
Oh my God. Thank you for sending. It was hilarious.
I like those.
Yeah.
All right. So I have something here that's, it's an article about how household cleaners are now trying to evoke a happy hour.
What?
And one of the examples they gave was a dog wash that smells like an apple teeny.
What? No.
Jenny, a golden retriever, mm-hmm. has never sipped a daiquiri, but her owner likes her to smell like one. I should say not. Once a month, Mike Sunseri bathes his dog with a daiquiri, pina colada, or cosmopolitan scented shampoo as a part of the Barkatini blends.
No.
Line
no.
of... They also make a conditioner for dogs called Hair of the Dog Conditioner. The fruity cocktail scent makes washing the reluctant Jenny more enjoyable, at least for Mr. Sunseri, who's a photography director. I'm thinking of which Caribbean island I can visit next. So this article details like all of the different types of household products. For example, if you're scrubbing dishes, showering, or lighting a candle, one of the products will probably smell like a margarita, a tequila, a pina colada, or a beer. Because they're trying to make you feel like you're at a happy hour while you're in your house, like scrubbing a toilet.
They just make you
gloved up.
Wish that you had a drink
instead of washing this dog. Instead of spring cleaning, I'm on spring break drinking a margarita, says Michelle Arnault, home care general manager for the Method products. It has a lime and sea salt dish soap.
That just makes me feel like I'm missing out on things.
Like when they try to couch a product that's like, you know, like urine cake, for example. A urinal cake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
But if they try to get, if you're putting urinal cakes in for a living or whatever you're doing, you're going to feel worse if it smells like, you know, a high class drink.
Yeah.
Because you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Versus what am I smelling?
But also think about, all right, for humans, like you have body wash that has different like scents, like, oh, pomegranate and cucumber and melon and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have, you know, my daiquiri.
For your dog, you do.
For yourself.
Oh, I see.
You're not going to douse yourself. I want to smell like a margarita.
Well, that's what you, I agree with you, but this article says something different. So basically it's saying that here, Hello Products LLC has a mojito mint flavored toothpaste. Mouthwash and breath spray,
but
they were inspired in part there because they were trying to counter the harsh warnings in oral care advertising. You see, everything in the oral care advertising is about fear and shame.
Yeah,
if you don't use this, you won't get a date,
yeah.
or your next dental visit will be a painful one.
Yeah,
and we want people to have a pleasant experience, a vacation in your mouth. It says consumers who buy the Mojito Mint also buy its pink grapefruit mint flavor.
Yeah.
Usually they prefer grapefruit in the morning and mojito at night. No nightcap jokes, please. I mean, a vacation in your mouth.
A vacation in your mouth.
Who's vacationing in my mouth? Do you know what I'm saying?
Got a vacation.
So now they have...
I'd like a vacation under my arms.
They have mojitos.
Do you have deodorants?
I'd like a vacation on my foot.
Yeah.
How's that?
It's like a vacation in your hair.
Yeah, a vacation. The whole thing's a vacation in my nose. Like, none of this sounds good. So they have a Pet Effects Tropic Collection. Includes daiquiris, appletinis, mango margarita, and pina colada quaffs.
It's a bad word.
Said now there's a need to create a spa-like environment for dogs. No, you're creating that need.
Right.
There's not a need.
Nobody's. No, like, it wasn't.
You don't have to do it.
You're making this up.
It says not everyone conjures up a vacation in their mouth. I'm putting that down. When they face work, no matter what the fragrance. And this one guy says, look, when I use a Senorita Margarita shampoo, shower gel, and bubble bath made by Cody, upscale product.
Oh, right.
I'm not going to look forward to doing dishes just because it smells like margaritas. You're not relaxed.
Cody, 1973, yeah, Cody. All over again.
Yes. But it says, like, when you're doing housework, you're not relaxed. And I don't want to smell booze.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm doing the housework. Otherwise, I'll probably start drinking. And then the housework won't get done.
And then you just get drunkle.
Then you're just like...
Drunkle.
Yeah, you're just at home, like, cleaning the toilet with one hand and with, you have a Chardonnay in the other.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Like, I don't know how that's going to happen. So they have a soap here that smells like Patron for men. I don't know.
No, thanks.
So, and there's also a fresh squeezed lime soap as well. It gives you the fragrance and the feeling without actually having to have the drink, which is the fun part.
Yeah.
Like, if I got the drinks that we, say, our white wine.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden our white wine had no smell, still drink it.
Yeah.
Because
we're not drinking it for the smell.
Yes, a white wine by any name gets you just as drunk.
Sure, I can smell like a pina colada.
Sure.
But I don't
have to.
Yeah.
It also doesn't have to be the right color.
But the thing is, like, that's not the thing. I'm like, when I go for a drink, I'm not going for the smell.
Really? You don't get in there, you don't get the margarita, but like, you know what? No.
No.
Not fruity enough.
Like, what do I feel like smelling tonight?
Urinal cake.
It's dinner.
All right, what do you have?
I have Unpopular Science. It's a shorty.
Oh, shorty's in the house. So Unpopular Science is a segment that we do because we have a fear of technology and the coming robo-apocalypse, which apparently is next year.
Yes.
And we like to be up to date on what's going on in the tech world. So what do you have for us today? Is it DARPA?
No, this is from your husband, Greg.
Oh, okay.
Greg's not allowed to tell you these things directly. He has been...
Some he sends to me, but if he thinks I won't use it, he stealthily sends it.
To the Hey You
Know address, which I do not check.
Yeah, I do. And he said the title is "Robo Apocalypse on Sale." Hurry while supplies last.
What?
That's his message.
Yes, see, he's giving it his own title, and you've read it. You fell for it.
Yeah, I did.
See, I don't. I cut his title out, and I give it my own. I go straight for the material.
And it's just basically it's an ad for a Sky mini drone with a camera for $90.
Wow.
So, it features 6-axis flight control system, LED lights, 4-channel, 2.4 gigahertz transmitter, remote control.
Okay.
And an estimated flight time of 7 to 8 minutes.
That's
and
it?
All of yours.
So, you have to really budget your time.
Yes.
Because if I'm flying over to your apartment to, like, snap a picture of you when you don't want me to, if I'm on minute 5, I'm not coming back.
Right.
Man down. Then you come home and you hear like a snap, and then you look and it's just a drone on the floor, and you're like, oh, I wonder where this came from.
Oh, right. So, what it can do, I guess, if you.
Is it self destruct?
I wish. I wish it did. That would be the best.
Yes.
Get the information and just.
Yes.
Done. Kamikaze mission.
Yeah.
You know, I could see like kids in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Doing this and then like going, so and so is sunbathing.
But also, I can see kids in the suburbs having like tricked theirs out so that you know it's theirs, and then they fly 1 minute too far and they can't get back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, I want, oh, it's Tommy from down the street.
No, but you know, it's like the older girls are out, you know, like sunbathing in their backyard with a fence around them. They don't want to be bothered. But you know, Tommy
wants
from
to see.
Two houses over.
He's not satisfied with the free porn that's on the internet.
No.
He wants to see little Susie's tatas.
Yeah, so he's like, and sends over his drone. Until he doesn't need any more than 9 minutes.
I want. It's like, I can do this in two.
Yeah.
I'm 14.
Yeah.
I wonder what little Susie is going to come up with next. It's going to be like a pea shooter.
Yeah, right.
Like an anti-drone. Yeah. That's where the anti-drone technology is going to come from. Home young girl who's like, I'm sick of this.
Yeah. It's like, forget it. And just everyone has missile launchers. Yes. That's what all women should have. Just like missile launchers.
But it'll be like lipstick. Like, she'll go to put on lipstick and I'm like, pew. And the guy, Tommy's going to be like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's just like, look.
Done it again. Watch out for the mascara.
Yeah, so that's happening.
I like that. Here's a little how-to. And I was thinking about this, how to listen better. I am not good at pretending like I'm interested.
Okay.
Like, it's either I'm interested or I'm reading. Where did that come from? It's like, it's magic. So it says, how to improve your listening skills.
Okay.
How to get the most out of a conversation.
Okay.
You do, are you a bad listener as well?
No, sometimes I do wander, though.
Yeah.
Emotional.
Well, it makes sense because it says here that most people can think more than twice as fast as the average person talks, allowing the mind to wander.
Okay. So I'm right. That's me.
It says even before the age of digital distractions, people could remember only about 10% of what is said in face. It's like, why am I talking? Why am I wasting my time?
Exactly.
This is why I hate meetings. Because I'm like, you know no one's listening, right?
Yeah.
Write it down.
Thinking about other things.
You're thinking about other stuff. It says failure to listen not only prolongs meetings, which is the worst. Because you think if I just ignore the meeting, if I leave emotionally and I come back, it'll be over. But it won't. You leave emotionally, you come back, it's right where it was before.
Yeah.
You've added to the time. It says, how is it possible to improve your listening skills? It says, first, by becoming aware that you may tune others out, which I do right away.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are busy thinking about what they want to say next. That's clearly much more important than what anyone else is saying.
I'm sorry, did you just say something?
Yeah, no. Did you say something?
I don't know.
Okay. The customer said yes. Oh, so there's an example. We already gave an example, though, because we're professionals. So there's a woman who wrote a man who wrote a book called Power Listening.
Power Listening? Come on. Come on, no.
It's Power Listening by Bernard Ferrari,
the
dean of Johns Hopkins University Carey School of Business School in Baltimore. And it says, you know, the major obstacle to listening is a filter and a tendency to judge people based on pre-existing assumptions. So if you think someone's a damn fool, you're probably not, after they say, hey, what's up? And you just shut down.
Yeah.
Oh, I got something to tell you. It's you. Forget it.
Yeah.
You start thinking about other things.
Your introduction already discredited you.
your person.
Yeah. Right.
They just saw you. It said that the more powerful the listener, the less likely he or she is to listen to other people's advice. So if you have someone who feels like Bill Clinton ain't going to listen to you.
Right. He says he likes to.
Yeah.
He's
you
like,
can
I
find someone of
people.
Lower status than you who might listen to you a little bit. Because they say they filter things out. They're trying to train people on mindful listening. And they said that college students spend 24% of their time listening to others face-to-face. Now, in 1980, they spent 53% of their time.
Wow.
I mean, and I'm thinking, maybe there's something to that.
Because,
when I was in college, we had to take sometimes lecture classes. And I was always like, you know what? I'm going to write down every single thing that is said. Because if I don't, I'm checking out. If I wasn't actively, writing things down,
absolutely.
I was gone.
Yeah.
So how to power listen. And they talk about how to do it better on the job. But the important thing they say is that people should talk 25% of the time and listen 75% of the time. How's that going to work in a conversation if we're just staring each other down?
We both go to talk at the same time.
Yeah.
No, you. You were saying?
And then I have to try to listen based on how important I think I am.
Oh, my God.
In reference to you. So it's really upsetting to know that, because I was a teacher. For almost a decade, and only 10% of what I was saying was getting
through.
That's it. See, that's why I tried to put humor in it.
That's, right? Because they're waiting for the next
yes.
But then also, golden nugget to come out of your mouth.
I think if you're having a business meeting, you should do what teachers do, just call on someone randomly and be like, accounting.
Oh, yeah. What
do you think?
I've been caught many a time.
You've been caught out in the meeting?
Absolutely.
I like it if someone just... When I used to go to meetings, I would have my laptop in front of me when I worked at tech companies, and I would have just the laptop up, nothing on it, and I'd just look at it. And just check out. And every once in a while, I would, pretend like I was writing something down.
Just your name.
And then just go, yeah. Just ASDF, ASDF, over and over again. And then just go right back to it. I'm not good in the meeting. I don't like meetings. I'm like, if it's important, you'll write it down.
I like calling meetings. You know what
do
I mean?
Do you show up to the meeting?
I do. I'm like, where's everybody?
Where's everybody?
You know the worst thing that I was like in a meeting and I'm telling everyone, I'm like, whatever I'm telling them. And then this flying insect came in. It was like this giant wasp-like creature.
Was everyone relieved to have something to do? Clear out. So this meeting is boring as fuck.
Yeah, and in a moment of leadership, what I do is I take my papers and I put them on my head like, no, I say.
And you can't. They're like, do you see how little she cares about everyone else?
And how brave I was.
A real leader would have, they're like, oh, she's going to swat it. No, she's made a hat. Because when you're wearing a hat, you can't be stung.
That's right.
When you have a piece of paper on your head, wasps are like, you know what, F it. Not interested.
And also,
wow.
I should have made it sit down and join the meeting.
Yeah.
That would have been
bore the shit out of him as well.
Right.
An insect came and stung itself to death. The meeting was so boring.
Yeah, right.
I used to do meetings and they were so fast that people were like, huh? I'm like, you know, they'd be sitting there and be like, good meeting. Like, what? What happened? One guy's still coming in. I'm like, you missed it. It's over. See the notes. I don't know what to say. Yeah. If it's more than 10 minutes, I'm out.
Get on the minutes. Yeah, get on the minutes.
All right, what do you have?
I have a quick announcement.
Okay.
It's about Cinema.
Cool. Will they still be on tour?
It's about their album.
Okay. Goodness.
They were on tour with Black Flag.
Okay.
For North America.
For the whole summer. And if you missed it, what a shame.
Because they were great. I got to see them. Yeah. And
Katie rocked hard.
I did.
She actually was escorted from a mosh pit.
Escorted.
From the sight of it.
Yeah.
So what's their new album?
And they have a new album out. It's coming... It's out on August 19th.
Night of the Fights, people.
Yeah, Night at the Fights.
Yes.
A night at the Fights.
Mm-hmm.
Go get it.
Love ballads. No. The hard rock.
It says here. Wait a minute here. Here's a review.
Okay.
Playing with an intensity that suggests they eat thrash metal for breakfast and math rock for lunch before chasing it down with tankers of pure adrenaline.
Really?
Like a horde of Thors.
Oh, come on.
Like a horde of Thors.
I mean, they're amazing.
But down off punk rock mountain.
Two guys.
A horde of Thors.
A horde of Thors?
I think it's...
I'm imagining them running with hammers and just smashing the shit out of everything until they get down to the bottom. It's like Metalocalypse. They should have their own cartoon.
That's hard to say.
Horde of Thors. I like it. That'll be our band name. So we each have our own bands. I forgot. What was your band name?
Mine was the Wicked Father.
Okay.
And you were the Dull Unit.
The Dull Unit. But when we come together, we're Horde of Thors.
Horde of Thors.
And we thrash.
Our
first album is called Thord of Horrors.
Our opening act is Soylent Green Day.
Soylent Green Day. Actually, I think we should get a couple more people in our band and have it be one of those, like, huge, epic, like, everybody comes together to do it.
Okay.
So, it could still be called Horde of Thors.
Horde of
and we could have Cinema as our music, because we don't play any instruments.
Yeah.
They could also sing for us, because we don't do that either.
Right.
It's really just, we'll stand around.
And it'll be called Horde of Thors.
Yeah, Horde of Thors. I like it. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that up.
I can't wait. When that comes out, hopefully they'll give us a little piece of music, and we can incorporate it
absolutely.
Into the show.
Absolutely. I guess we'll give you guys a sneaky peek.
I'll try to do that. This is an update on street harassment. So,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
Have you heard about the Holla Back campaign. It's to stop, like, when you get harassed in the street, you, like, upload it to this website and
okay.
you talk about it. So it says, now there's a Holla Back app. It provides a supportive community that allows New York users to report street harassment or harassment,
okay.
depending how fancy you are, to the mayor's office in real time.
Oh.
So it says, being catcalled on the street isn't flattering. It's harassment, and it's happening every day across the globe. And I have to say, I was ignorant, because whenever I think of street harassment, I always think of it from our point of view mm-hmm. as women. But it says here, more than 80% of women and people in the LGBTQ community.
Oh,
I didn't even
right.
think about that.
Right.
Because I consider that to be, it's harassment, but I think about it as like
a hate
gay, you know, like
a, hate thing.
But it's the same thing.
It's just the same thing.
It's exactly
yeah,
the
like,
same
yeah,
thing.
Like gay bashing and,
yeah.
and being like, it's
catcalls.
You're absolutely right.
I never thought about it, but it's the same thing. So now I'm like, this is great mm-hmm. because it links these two things together that are really the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not being allowed to just go down the street and mm-hmm. not have, you know, be disturbed by people. So there's a global nonprofit called Holla Back. It's been around since 2005. And it's in 79 cities and 26 countries. They train volunteers. And in 2010, they launched a smartphone app that allows you to document and map street harassment, which is pretty interesting.
That's really great.
But in New York, when you use the Holla Back app, they just upgraded it. You can report that harassment to the New York City Council and the mayor's office as soon as it happens.
That's great.
So someone's like, yo, yo, yo.
Boom.
Boom.
And
it's like,
posted.
What happened? Sorry.
Yeah.
Done. I think that's interesting.
I think that's fantastic.
Holla Back. Yeah. I want to check that out. I haven't been harassed lately to the point where I felt like I had to do something about it. But I'm also not on the streets that much.
Right, right.
And when I am on the streets, I'm usually running. So if you want to harass me, you got to start running and just catch up to me.
Right, right.
And ask me for a piece of whatever I'm eating.
Yes.
Or whatever you're going to do.
Or tell me about my body.
Yes. Or compliment me on my caboose.
Yes, right. Tell me what you know what you can do with my body.
Yes.
Tell me. I know what to do with that.
And you know what? If you think I'm fine, let me know. But be specific about what part of me you're talking about and why.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you have?
I have here, I was thinking about how recently we had Kate and Kathleen from ABC Gotham.
And then I realized, I was like, wait, Kate, Katie, and Kathleen. I felt out of place.
Out of place.
Yes. I need a K derivative name.
Yeah, right.
Katya.
Katya.
That would be me.
You'll get Katya.
Yeah.
Katya is also Katie.
I know. If you were really Polish, I'd be calling you Katya right now.
I would.
We'd be having pierogies.
I may just...
There'd be a tuba.
I'm just going to, maybe the Whipfather, my band, is the lead singer is Katya.
And plays a pierogi?
Yeah.
Jesus. Do you ever make pierogies? Do you know how to make
them? Are you kidding me?
They're so good.
I eat
what
them.
A loss.
What am I going to make?
You know, I would make greens if you asked. I'm just saying. All right, go ahead.
I have, so I found this article that just came out. It's called Dead Giraffe, Weirdest Things Found in New York City Water. So this is a homage. This is a homage to Kate and Kathleen, ABC Gotham, where they tell history.
Yeah, they put boots on the ground, that's what we say, and they find out about New York City
history.
So this is strange, dead things in the water?
So this is just a tribute, yes. Let's see, the dead men tell no tales. What is this? But the waterways of New York City contain plenty of stories. From shipwrecks to dining tables to things, there's all kinds of things that are in the New York City waters that they
that's
have found.
Weird. Okay,
really.
So that's why I don't
things.
Go to the water in New York because I'm always afraid of it's like a face.
There's BS that's in there. Okay, so a few odd things that have been found.
Because the East River is pretty much a graveyard. But go ahead.
A dead giraffe.
From where?
Yeah.
He got whacked somewhere. Staten Island.
The Army Corps of Engineers found a corpse of a giraffe in the Lower New York Bay. The animal likely ended up in the water after trying to escape from a circus ship.
Whoa, that's terrible. Because they cannot swim. Is that what you're going for?
They were like, I got to get out of here. And according to the magazine, it probably happened in the 1980s.
So
in 1980,
let's
everyone's
just talk
wearing
about,
neon.
Let's just talk about how there's a ship, and then they know they have four of each animal or whatever. Yeah. When they get in, they're like, just keep moving. Like this, how do you not notice that that's missing?
Yeah.
Surely when they got to the circus and they were like, where are the pair of giraffes? I tell you, there was only one when we got here.
Yeah. Like, one.
Yeah. We're seeing more. Do we think we lost a giraffe? I don't think so.
So, what really? Maybe this giraffe? It's the 80s.
It's the 80s.
We got some,
Was it Jeff?
Wham playing in the background.
And he couldn't take
nice
it
day.
Anymore. I need to get out of here. You people are animals.
One's got neon on.
Is he going? I'm going back to Africa. He got a headband.
I don't think this one is remarkable. It's an old dining table. It's an old dining table with metal grooves in the edges, standing upright, ready for a dinner party.
Where was this?
It's just in the East River.
That's not that interesting.
It's
piece
not.
Of furniture. Someone threw it in.
Yeah, big deal. It's like no mystery.
It's not like an escape from a zoo ship, which doesn't even make sense to me.
Ice cream trucks.
I always think about whenever they have the elephants and they bring them across the bridge into Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they try to escape?
Yeah, they should.
Like, maybe if they do it enough, you guys would be like, all right, next year, guys. Fucking stampede. Have you heard about this thing? They do it in Africa all the time. We're going to do it right now.
Last year, I did my recon. This year, we go for it.
We go for it. We're going to run right into Midtown.
In 1969, New York State Department dumped a heap of Good Humor ice cream trucks off a barge near Atlantic Beach.
On purpose?
Yes.
Why is that always the way to get rid of things?
Yeah, well...
Just throw in the water.
Yeah. All right.
And they found them?
Today, the area is a good place to...
That sounds like
well,
a
now,
mob.
The tires, cars, concrete slabs, and other pieces of refuse were added to the pile, which was designed to serve as an artificial reef.
Oh, okay. They
but
were
they
trying
need
to,
clean
do
it.
That with subway cars, which is actually not a bad idea.
As long as they're clean. You don't have a lot of oil and other
you
stuff.
You think... But no, it's New York. There was probably still ice cream in there.
Yeah, right. The driver is like still...
But how much you would have bet they had other things in there as well that they were trying to hide.
Oh, right. So right there, today, it's a good place to catch lobsters and black sea bass.
Oh, I don't know if I'd eat anything out of the water anywhere near New York.
No. There are 1,600 silver bars.
Wait, would you eat a lobster from Manhattan?
No. Not if I knew.
Where does lobster come from, Brooklyn?
No, thanks.
At least lie and say it's from Maine.
It has like a neck beard.
Yeah. It's got attitudes. Or it just moved to town.
It's riding a unicycle.
Yes.
Eating kale.
Eating kale, yeah. Carry on, no way.
Yeah.
All right.
There are 1,600 silver bars. Bars of silver.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, in 1903, a barge carrying 7,678 silver bars capsized in Arthur Kill. It's okay. The harbor between Staten Island and New Jersey.
That's just
only 6,000 were recovered, so 1,600 are still underwater somewhere.
1,600 walked off.
Yeah, they're not in the water.
They're not in the water.
They're gone. Stop looking.
There's no. I can't. New York is the kind of place where you drop a quarter in there, that shit's going to be gone.
Yeah. No. I don't believe they're in the water.
No, they're gone.
I know what else they found in there? A robot hand.
Huh?
Yeah.
From the future.
Let's see. It was on the Great Kills Park Beach in Staten Island.
It showed up
on the beach. A robotic hand.
I'm telling you, if I saw a robotic hand wash up on the beach, that is the opening of a film.
Here's the picture. What was the robot hand?
Oh my God, that's crazy. Where'd it come from?
If nobody knows.
There's just a robot out there. It's
without
just
a
like,
hand. Right.
Looks like a victim. I like it.
And then, of course, there's dead bodies. I mean, we all
know.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Accountants, hookers.
This one is called a cement-eating creature. Yes. A lot of critters call the New York waterways home, and some of them are truly bizarre. Take the naval ship worm, which starts out like a tiny clam, but grows to be a giant 4 foot long.
No.
Yes.
See, this podcast is over. Thanks for listening.
No. A 4 foot long worm that can devour wood.
That's not a worm anymore. A four foot long worm?
Yes.
That can eat wood?
How big
is its mouth? Okay, stop.
Okay.
Because, do you have a picture of this thing?
A naval shipworm, it's called.
In my mind, I'm thinking if it's 4 feet long, it's probably got to be like this, like as big as an arm around.
Yeah.
But it's probably not. It's probably like a really long, thin worm.
But it eats wood.
Ah, I can see that.
All right.
Well, it's cement. There was talk of cement.
Yeah, then there's other little crustaceans. No. Okay, just gave me the Latin name. Limnoria trimp. Punkatana.
Okay.
Sounds not Latin.
Not when you say it.
They look like tiny armadillos and they gnaw on concrete.
Ew.
According to New York Magazine. I tell you,
nature finds a way, as Jeff Goldblum would say.
Yes.
Jurassic Park was on the other night and I was watching it on TV and I was like, wait a minute, I have this on DVD. So then I watched it on DVD. So bizarre.
I was watching The Fly. Recently.
Oh, really?
Do you have
that on DVD?
No, I found it. I was just like...
I love it. We should do like a Jeff Goldblum.
We should.
A-thon.
It was crazy.
It is like, really creepy to look at.
It's a weird movie.
Yeah.
And then they also found a Kanga mouse.
In the water?
It is a toy.
Okay.
Somebody found this. It's in the Dead Horse Bay. It's a cross between a kangaroo and a mouse. And it has a light... It's missing one ear and it has a light bulb heart. Nobody has ever seen this toy before. Nobody knows where it came from, who manufactured it. It's
from
like
the future.
A little Kanga mouse.
That's bizarre. Oh, we gotta stop.
All right.
That's weird. That concrete, we gotta follow up on the concrete worm.
Yeah.
I mean, the wood eating worm.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows. And yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
On sale. How much was it?
$89.
Can you imagine a Hey You Know It drone? It just would fly over to a bottle of wine and just struggle with it.
Yeah.
And then self-destruct, but just a little bit.
Yeah.
There'd just be like a puff of smoke. It's like, you guys have your drone here again.
It just kind of whirls around in one.
They'd be like, you know, we could have bought this wine to you from the bar.
It's like, yes.
We know it's you.
Yeah.
We saw you struggling with the remote control. Oh, I like that. All right. What should I do next today? I already did that chubby checker. Did I do penis news already? Yeah, I did Warren Harding's penis. That's what I do.
Yeah.